And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be this one. That'd be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, I'm bringing on somebody right now who I'm last in line to get the announcement, but I'm bringing on a friend of mine. I'm the only one of all the radio guys who can say, though, that I know this dude quite well, very personally. Brian Taylor has been a full disclosure, has been a friend of mine for over a decade. We served together in the Alabama State Senate. He sat on the Senate floor next to me. We shared an office suite together, and I think the world of him. He's also a veteran. Not only is he a practicing attorney with a firm in Birmingham, he's a former state senator. He was the senior advisor to Governor Riley, the chief legal counsel to Governor Ivey, and also a veteran himself with service in Iraq as a JAG officer. So my brother, Brian Taylor, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Nobody else can introduce you like I can. I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, I'd say best for last.
Fair enough. I don't know if you heard it, but we had I do a thing on Wednesday afternoons. Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson were both on my show for what we call the Grand Council a few minutes ago.
And, oh no, I missed it.
Yeah, and one of the,
all of you together in one place.
Every Wednesday we do it. Yeah, and Dale's question was how many radio shows can Brian Taylor say he has exclusively made his announcement on? I said, well, I'm getting the exclusive 430 agreement.
We try to do as many as we could, but, you know, you have a great time slot, Phil. You have a great audience, and I've enjoyed, of course, guest hosting your show before. And
yep.
So I'm wrapping it up with you today, so I appreciate you having me on.
Well, my brother, you've decided that politics is not over for you, so roll it out there, man. What's the announcement?
Well, you know, Phil, I didn't run for re-election in the Alabama Senate 2014. As you know, I was a believer in term limits and the idea of a citizen legislature, and I went back into private practice in 2014, practiced in my law firm for a few years, had the opportunity to go back and work for Governor Ivey as her general counsel, did that until 2019, went back into private law practice, and have been doing that for the last 3 years or so, but I decided when I started looking around at what was going to be happening in 2024, and looking what's happening in the country right now, and the Americans and Alabamians are losing faith in our institutions, whether it's the media, whether it's college campuses or K-12 schools, just traditional values, conservative values are under assault in every institution. And the courts are not immune to that. So we need somebody, Republicans need to have somebody on the ballot who is a real conservative that they can go hold their head high and cast their vote for that they know is going to stand up for traditional conservative values on the court, and that's what I intend to do. I want to be that choice for Republican voters.
Well, I agree. So you're running for Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, which a lot of people may not realize that you actually run for Chief Justice. It's not an appointed position. You're not nominated by your peers on the court. You're running to actually take the seat of current Chief Justice Tom Parker, who's done an amazing job down there. But yeah, this is a ballot position for you as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, right?
Yeah, thank you. And Justice Parker has been a judge of high moral integrity, and everybody knows his character. He's not able to run again because of state law. He's retiring, so it's an open seat. And who knows? There may be some more candidates that announce in the coming months, but I want to get out there right now and start talking to voters about my Republican credentials, my experience, and my conservative record. So I've also today officially resigned or notified John Wall, the Republican Party chairman, that I'll be stepping aside as the deputy general counsel for the Alabama Republican Party, which has been an excellent opportunity that he gave me starting back a couple years ago to help the party with their legislative efforts. But I've set that aside so that I can focus on my efforts on this campaign for the state's highest court.
Well, it's gonna be a race. I mean, you've currently got competition because Justice Stewart has already announced that she's running as well. So there's two of you in the race right now. But you have to differentiate yourself. I mean, so tell us. I mean, what is it about? And by the way, a lot of folks don't realize not only are you a jurist, as a chief justice, you preside not only over that court, but you're kind of like the boss of the entire court system. So what is it you're planning on bringing to the table that makes your candidacy different from your competition?
Well, I think that's a great point, Phil. The Chief Justice, of course, rules on cases and issues opinions, just like all the other justices. But the day-to-day job of the Chief Justice is administrative or executive. They run the court system. They're responsible for oversight of the administrative office of courts. And so the Chief Justice is in a position not only to do the day-to-day management, but to set the agenda, set the vision, set the culture for the whole court system. And I think what I have to offer that I can bring to the table that's unique is my experience in the other two branches of government, in the legislative branch, understanding how laws are passed, why they're passed, how that process works. The budgeting process is huge when you think about the role of the Chief Justice in ensuring that we have adequate resources for our courts. If we don't have adequate resources for our courts, then we can't guarantee justice for our citizens. And so that's critically important that we have a Chief Justice who has those relationships and the ability to work with people in the legislature who understands that process. Same thing with the executive branch. My experience working for three governors, my experience as general counsel for the finance department, means I know the budgeting process inside and out. Some people's eyes are probably rolling in the back of their heads now, but this is important stuff when you're choosing somebody to manage an entire branch of government. And so I bring all that experience to the table. But it's not just the public service experience. I like to talk about my military experience, my experience, as you know, Phil, the training on being a leader and serving in that capacity. And then, of course, in private practice, too, and the conservative cases that I've had in private practice, I think, set me apart.
Well, and I want to hear about that because, all right, so I've known you for over a decade, and I've known you personally. And no favoritism. If Justice Stewart wants to come on the show, she'll have her opportunity. But I'll just say something I do know about you and I'm just speaking to you as a brother right now. First of all, for all you listeners out there, a Bronze Star for service in Iraq as a JAG officer in an area that was pretty restive. And then at the same time, I believe you qualify for that Purple Heart that you never put yourself in for or had anybody else put you in for. And you actually have some ramifications related to mortar attacks on the base where you were at, and you've never applied for it. But me personally, I want to thank you for your service.
Well, I thank you. I'm humbled by that. I think there's a lot more deserving folks, but I appreciate you saying that.
Well, so talk about your time as a JAG officer, because I know that you reached field grade, you spent time downrange, and that's actually where you started the practice of law, was in the military, correct?
Yeah, I went into the JAG Corps, started on active duty in the JAG Corps shortly after 9/11. I had just recently graduated law school, showed up at the JAG school to learn how to be an Army lawyer in January of 2002, and I was deployed to Iraq in 2003. And a JAG lawyer, the Judge Advocate General's Corps, you have a number of responsibilities during your term there. But a lot of it is prosecuting or defending cases. I was a military prosecutor and tried courts martial in Iraq, Honduras, and back in the States. So a lot of great trial experience, criminal law experience, and the rules for military criminal trial practice are very similar, if not identical, to Alabama's criminal rules. So I've got that experience that the military gave me, and I'm really proud of that service.
Well, and we're proud for you, so thanks for your service, brother. Hey, listen, as we got a few more minutes left here, is there anything like, okay, if I get to be Chief Justice, here's an initiative I want to see started, or here's a policy I want to see put in place, or something I want done different? I mean, not to take away from Justice Parker, but what does a Brian Taylor Chief Justice position bring in and do differently?
Well, a couple of things. I think we need to do more to modernize and streamline the courts. I think I'll bring energy to do that and some know-how on bringing the probate courts online. as you know, Phil, you can't access if you practice in probate court, and everybody needs a probate court because everybody eventually passes away and they want to leave a legacy onto their family. So bringing the probate courts online is an important initiative. I'd like to see us make public records in the courts available to the public for general access on the internet. Right now, you have to go hire a lawyer if you want to get a copy of a record, or you have to walk down to the courthouse. So there's a lot we can do with technology to improve and streamline the process. I also would like to see us expand veterans treatment courts. We have a couple of counties that are leading the way, paving the way with veterans treatment courts. These are courts for alternative processing when a veteran comes in contact with the justice system. Perhaps it's a substance abuse problem or something like that, but they have PTSD. A veterans treatment court will take a criminal charge and adjudicate it alternatively so that a veteran can be rerouted to services that are already available for veterans at the Veterans Affairs Department. For example, substance abuse, things that we can do to keep veterans out of the correctional institutions, the prisons, and focus on rehabilitating them. We've got those in a couple of counties. I think we need to take that initiative statewide.
Well, I agree with that. In fact, that was something I was passionate about when I was in the Senate. I helped with the Veterans Courts initiatives and helped pioneer some of the early days of that and was able to get it into my district. And Etowah County is one of the few that started that up right away. So I think that's a worthy cause. I don't know. You tell me. Here's another question I have for you. As an Army JAG officer, do you have to come here and take the bar exam for the state of Alabama, or are you automatically admitted even because you've been practicing sort of in a broad sense with the military? Or can we do something to make it easier for lawyers to come in?
It's kind of a fun. I went to the University of Texas for law school. So when I joined the Army, I was licensed to practice in Texas. You only have to be licensed in one state. And I came back home to Alabama in 2006 when I got out of the Army, and I started studying for the Alabama bar exam. And I took the bar exam only to learn that I think it was weeks before the bar exam, Alabama had adopted what we call reciprocity with Texas, where you can just where both states recognize each other's bar exam. So I sat for the Alabama bar, but it would certainly make sense to make sure veterans have the opportunity. We minimize the barriers for veterans, not only lawyers, but for veterans in all professions and all careers, to be able to go from state to state and make a living without having to go through a tape process.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you.
I don't know off the top of my head what the current law is in Alabama.
Well, I just know when I took the bar exam, I said it was like a mental version of Ranger School, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody else who didn't have to take it. So, all right. Well, listen, Brian Taylor, this is the rollout. So you are running for Chief Justice in the election. The primary is coming up next spring, correct?
It's in March. It's a presidential primary year, so our primary elections will be a little bit early. Don't know yet if there will be a Democrat candidate. It may just be the Republican race, and that may be it, but we'll see. So it's only about 8 months away, and obviously the presidential election is going to be taking front and center over the next few months. A lot of stuff going on there. So we're going to have to work hard to get out and meet people and explain why we're running and what our vision is for a judiciary that restores the rule of law, enforces the rule of law, and the Constitution and the statutes as they're written, and not as liberal judicial activists think they should be written. And I think that's a message that I think is going to resonate with the Republican grassroots.
All right, man. You got an amazing track record, amazing personal resume, and heck, why not? Let's do one more thing, right? So Brian Taylor, running for Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. Hey, man, thanks for your time today, and we'll be keeping up, all right?
Thanks always for having me on, Phil.
All right, take care, buddy. All right, as we're going to break, I will tell you, full disclosure, and Brian is a personal friend, and I mean that in the deepest sense. A brother in Christ, a brother in arms, and a personal friend from time serving in the legislature. He's been to my house, I'm just saying. But if Justice Stewart wants to come on the show, she will get every bit the fair shake of anybody else. That being said, you couldn't ask for someone with a better resume to run than what you just heard. All right, folks. We're going to wrap it up here. Coming back after the break, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.